Matthew chapter 28, establishing our authority. I'm so glad to get to hear from the families of our church staff, and maybe take that opportunity for you to get to know them better. I'm going to invite Brother Michael and Brother Dale after services. Y'all come out with me and let folks come by and shake your hands and talk to you. Okay? I think that would be appropriate. All right, let's stand as we read from God's Word, continuing on our study of discipleship. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, would you lead our hearts in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Last week, we began our study on discipleship, and our study began with commitment. And we talked last week, studied about the children of Israel and how that they crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. God cut off the waters of the Jordan River, and all of the nation of Israel crossed over into the promised land on dry ground. And God instructed them to take from the bed of the Jordan River 12 stones and take those out and take them to the place where they were to camp that night, and they were to build a monument to be a constant reminder to them and to their children that when their children would ask, "What do these stones mean?" that they would say, "Oh, that was the day. That was the day that life changed forever. That was the day that God cut off the river Jordan and heaped the water up, and we walked across that Jordan River on dry ground. That was the day that we made our final commitment, the day that we crossed over to claim the promised land." And last week, we built our monument. Our monument of 12 stones. Right here in front of me. It's down there somewhere. Can't see it. That was to serve as a reminder to us. A reminder to us, first of all, of the commitment that God has made to us. God is so faithful. Amen. I mean, you know, those times when you just don't know how you're going to get through, but somehow you manage to get through. And I'll tell you, you don't just manage to get through. God gets you through, you know. God is so faithful, and He's so committed to us and to loving us and to providing for us. And we never want to forget that. So in the next 3 months, each time you look at this pile of stones in the front, I want you to remember God's commitment to you. And I also want you to remember your commitment to God. Last week, it was about having that day, that defining day, that defining moment where you crossed over your Jordan, where you committed your life to being a disciple of Christ. It was that day that you decided life would never be the same. No more church as usual, business as usual, but that was the day last week, hopefully was the day that you decided to be a true disciple of Christ. And today we're going to continue to examine that discipleship commitment by examining our authority. Okay? Jesus said, "All authority is given to me." Now, the first thing I want to do is to take a look at the threats to our authority. Okay? And that begins there in verse 17 where it says, And they saw Him, and they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Now, this is them seeing Jesus after the crucifixion. I cannot imagine what is going through their minds. And I don't blame them. I think you would have to hit the ground in worship and in reverence to Jesus Christ. And I believe that the disciples were sincere in what they were doing. I believe they had the right desires, but I believe that they had a problem, an inner turmoil. You see, it says some doubted. Literally, in the Greek, it reads, they worshiped, but they doubted. So I kind of get the impression that all of them are a little torn. See, that's what the word doubted means. It means to waver or to hesitate or to be of two minds about something. And that's what the disciples are feeling at this point. They're torn. They don't know how to process. And you understand because they have seen so much in the last 3 days. They've witnessed the trial of Jesus. They've witnessed the scourging of Jesus. They've witnessed people spitting on Him. They've witnessed the nails being driven into His hands and Him suspended in the air on that cross. They've witnessed as He's been offered vinegar to drink. They've witnessed as He's worn the crown of thorns. And they've witnessed as Jesus gave up the ghost and the life left His body. They saw that. And right now they're seeing the risen Savior. And it's kind of almost too much to process. As I thought about that, I thought about us. And how quickly the commitments that we make are challenged. I want you to think about that. Last Sunday, it was a very blessed Sunday. People made commitments to the Lord. And the commitments that they made were obvious. I mean, last Sunday night was the best attended Sunday night service since I've been here. Amen? That is awesome. Yeah, it showed. It Wednesday night, best Wednesday night attendance since I've been here. The commitment showed. But I ask you, if you made a commitment last week, how long did it take before something challenged that commitment? How long? You know, I feel certain that we all, last Sunday morning, we were sincere in the commitment that we made. But a lot of us, by the time we got out of here Sunday morning, somewhere in the course of Sunday afternoon, something's challenging us, saying that you can't live up to that commitment, or you shouldn't live up to that commitment, or what's the use in living up to that commitment, therefore creating doubt. Being torn. I dare say that we all feel that doubt, that tearing from time to time, that kills our faithfulness. How many commit? Let's be honest. How many times have you committed your life to Christ? And I'm not talking about salvation experience. I'm talking about a commitment of I'm going to change. I'm going to do better in my service to the Lord. I'm going to... And the first thing you know, it seems to wear off. And do you know why? Because a challenge comes. We have a doubt. And see, here's the problem. The commitment that we make when it is challenged, we think, for some reason or another, that there's no reason to pursue that commitment. For example, why would you miss church on Sunday morning? Why? I've got a reason. Because something has planted the seed in your mind that you won't really benefit from it. Does that make sense? Does that make good sense? Why would you not go on Sunday night? Well, something has planted a seed of doubt in your mind that you'll benefit from something else other than going to the Lord's house. You see that if I think I'm going to benefit, that's what I'm going to do. Amen? Do you follow me? Amen? Come on. You see the doubt? Why don't you, I've heard people witness or talk about witnessing, saying, I've got a friend I know I need to witness to. Well, why don't you witness to that friend? Why don't you share the greatest thing in your life, which is Jesus Christ, with that friend? Well, Brother Doug, I'm afraid I'll say something wrong. So you don't do it. You see, you let go of the commitment that you made because Satan has planted that seed of doubt, thinking, well, it's not going to do any good, or you're thinking, I'll say something wrong, even though we have the promise of the Word of God. Jesus said, I'll be with you always. Right? Doesn't that make sense? But somewhere along the way, Satan or other people plants doubts that it's not going to work out, that you can benefit more if you do something else. I want to share with you today, there is no greater benefit than the benefit of serving Jesus Christ wherever you are. That's where the joy of being a Christian comes from. That's where that inner satisfaction and that inner peace comes from. Listen, it's okay. We all get challenged. We all have those times of, do I really want to do this? You know, there was a time or two I didn't want to go to church. And I'm talking when I was pastor. But you know what? Every time I went, I was glad I did. Why is that? Because I didn't let the doubt change my commitment. All right? You see, that unfaithfulness is just a symptom. It's a symptom of that being torn on the inside. You know? I figured out, guilt's not a good tool. Guilt don't work. I can guilt you today, but you're going to get rid of it by this afternoon. Right? We can dismiss that. You see, we need to deal with the being torn. We need to make up our mind that yes, Jesus truly is the way. And yes, I have made a commitment and I will not waver from that commitment because of doubts or because of interference that Satan plants in my path. Every time you see this monument, be reminded of the commitment that you have made to Jesus Christ. Number two, they doubt it. And Jesus gives them words of encouragement because He knows their heart. And Jesus spoke to them and said, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. That word authority carries with it a double meaning. And we're going to look at both those meanings, but the first meaning that it carries with it is the power of decision making. Jesus says, I am given the right to decide. And notice the way it's constructed. He said, all authority, meaning every situation, every circumstance, everything going on through the farthest stretches of the universe, Jesus Christ has the right to decide. What's going on? Now think about that for just a minute. Okay? In the commitment that we have made to Christ and being children of God, we've said, Jesus, you have the right to decide. To decide what? To decide how we live. Right? Jesus said, all authority is given to me. Let me decide how you live. And first of all, we examine the Word of God. You know what the Word of God is? The Word of God is what Jesus has already decided that is right for your life. Does that make sense? That's why it's so important. Have you ever, been in that situation where you're tempted? You know what the Word of God says, but you're torn. You're drawn away thinking, well, I think this might work out. But no. No. The Bible is a perfect book of instruction on how to pattern our life. It is what Jesus has established for us as far as living. You want to know how to raise your children? Get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Bring up your children to the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Yeah. I mean, that's right. Set the example for those children. Show them what a godly father, a godly mother looks like. You need marriage help? How many people need marriage help? Am I the only one? No, Miss Beth is honest. Ooh, we need marriage help. Where are we going to get it? We're going to get it from the Word of God. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And I'll tell you, I'm not there yet. Boy, I could do a lot better. But that's where I want to strive to be. Okay? Because that is the right instruction. You see, we've got to realize how precious the Word of God is to our lives. And we've got to realize this is not just a book to study. This is a book to take and apply to our hearts so that when we live this book, the Word of God. Because this is what Jesus has already decided is right for His children. And He has that right to decide. You know what other right to decide He has? He has the right to call the shots in your life. Think about that. Okay? He has the right to decide everything about you. The right to decide where you live. The right to decide where you work. The right to decide how you will live. And most especially the right to decide how He will use you. And that scares people. Why is that? Why are we afraid of giving God full control? I don't understand it because we know that He has our good in mind. Doesn't He? He has our good in mind. But sometimes, I guess we're afraid that He's going to call us to do something we don't want to do. Thinking our discipleship study, that's one of the comments the author of the book made. He's going to call you to do something you don't want to do. But just because you don't want to do it doesn't make it wrong for you. He's trying to make your life right. It scares us because He might lead us to the mission field. He might lead us to become a pastor. He might call us. To teach a Sunday school class. Oh my goodness, He might call us to teach the junior high boys class. Isn't that scary? But let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about that. Because you've got to know that He is trustworthy in the decisions that He makes for you. Okay? Let me give you some insight. I ran for 3 years from surrendering to the call to preach. I say 3 years, probably longer than that. But I ran and I ran and I ran and I ran. And I was just, and the reason I did, because I was afraid. I was afraid, of what churches were going to do to me. And I was afraid of not being able to make a living. And I was afraid, I had plans for my life, and so I just wouldn't say yes. And now, since I said yes, well, life got a lot better. I've been pastoring for the last 20 years. But you know what is amazing? You know what I'm afraid of now? Grab a hold of this. Pastoring doesn't scare me anymore. Following the Lord doesn't scare me anymore. What scares me now is thinking that I might not have a place to preach. That I might not have a church to pastor. That I might not be able to serve. First church I resigned after I surrendered to preach and I started pastoring this little country church, and I knew it was time to leave. It was just time to go. And the greatest fear that I had, and it was a real fear, was that next Sunday I wouldn't have a place to declare the Word of God. You see, when we answer God's call, when we say, yes, Jesus, You have full rights to my life, to lead me where You want me to go, to use me as You want to use me, you see, what He does is He puts a love in our hearts for the work He's called us to. And therein is your joy. That's where it's good. My friends, the first thing I want you to consider in fighting the doubts of your commitment is to remember first and foremost that Jesus Christ has the authority to decide about your life. Let Him decide. And say yes as He decides. The second way that word authority is used, we're going to examine the assurance of our authority. And listen, when I say our authority, you do realize Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me." I've heard such terms as church authority and pastoral authority. Listen, Jesus has never given away His authority. Okay? It all belongs to Him. Right? Now, He's given to the church to be the head of the church. Right? But He is the authority. Period. Not us, not pastors, not churches. He is the authority. And the second way this word authority is used, it's the unrestricted freedom to exercise your ability or power. You see, in Jesus, what you have to lay hold of is that there is no restriction in what He can do. Okay? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, throughout all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And they were going to set the world on fire with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they did not have the power to do it. So Jesus says, "Look, it's my right to decide. And look, I have the power to back you up." Or as we would say today, "I got your back." Do you realize that's the way you used to hear? "I've got you. You know, in your weakness, I'm made strong. Those things that you can't do, I can do." Jesus is saying, "I have the power." That word power used in Acts 1:8, dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. It means power, power. Strength, power. That's why we can say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And you look at these apostles after Jesus' resurrection. You look at their preaching. And I've read their sermons. Right? You read the sermon Peter preached on in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. It's a good sermon. Okay? Not the most amusing one I've ever seen, but you know. But when he preached that one, thousands were added to the church. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ got behind that message and struck the hearts of those people. And people were moved. You see, it's not about what we can do. It's about what Christ can do through us because He has the power. You look at Peter who preached and the multitudes respond. You look at Philip who's preaching the kingdom of God. You look at Paul who was set up churches and started churches all over. It wasn't because of the greatness of them. It was because of the greatness of Jesus Christ and His power going through, flowing through their lives. Listen, we need as children of God the assurance of knowing that Jesus Christ has our back. If we're serving Him, He will never, as we would say, leave us hanging. All right? He would never, never leave us alone. John chapter 14, verse 13. I'm sorry, verse 18. Jesus told His apostles, "If I go, I will not leave you comfortless." That word comfortless literally means orphan. He said, "I will not orphan you." Do you realize Jesus is not going to orphan you? He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Listen, I believe with all my heart, there's nothing in Christ that we can't do. things don't scare me as far as serving the Lord. Building programs don't scare me as far as serving the Lord. Witnessing doesn't scare me. Mission trips doesn't scare me. Taking on more missionaries doesn't scare me. You know what scares me? What scares me is me. Me failing my commitment to Christ. That's my greatest concern. Listen, I hope that's your concern today. That's what this discipleship study is all about. It's about realizing that there's more to it than just going to church and just filling a pew. What we're about is being a true learner, a true student of Jesus Christ, and having a personal relationship to face whatever we have to face in this life. Listen, as we consider the authority of Christ, I'm so encouraged by this because I'm reminded this isn't just, Jesus is not giving a pep talk. He's giving an ironclad guarantee. Jesus is not going to leave you hanging. He says, authority's mine. I have the right to decide. I have the right to back you up. And I have the power, the ability to back you up. Listen, we need Jesus. You need Him as you live day to day, as you try to serve Him. You need Jesus. And more importantly, for those who have never committed their life to Jesus Christ, you need Jesus. Because this life is not all there is. Listen, you can believe if you want to that story about evolution, how that everything was created from an explosion and you just evolved from an amoeba that turned into a monkey that turned into a human. Now, we may act like monkeys, but buddy, we didn't come from them, okay? Listen. You were created in the image of God. And if you'll notice, if you've never made that commitment to Jesus Christ, you've never committed your life to Christ, you know that on the inside something's missing. What is missing is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Okay? See, we're told in the Word of God that when we receive Him as Savior, He comes to live on the inside. We're the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. Do you have that? Do you have that comfort? Are you a child of God? If not, today's the day of salvation. You know, today is the day of salvation. Don't walk out of here lost. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word that reminds us of your tremendous power. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that in every situation we can have all the assurance that you do have our back. And thank you, Lord, that you have the right to our lives. And thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, I pray your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.